Lizards are fun to catch. My friend and I used to catch them, but you would have to be very fast. We would chase them under a rock and then grab them. However, none of the small brown blue-bellied lizards that we caught could even compare with the one my friend bought. He bought a special lizard at the pet store called a chameleon. A chameleon is a lizard with a skin that changes colors to match the colors around it. This makes it difficult for any enemies to see and kill the lizard. We would have fun taking the chameleon to different places and watching the skin change colors. Because of its ability to change colors to protect itself from enemies, the word chameleon is often used to describe people, too. In this sense, a chameleon is a person who changes their position or ideas depending on who they are with. For example, let's say there were three friends named Fred, Barney, and Joe. One day, Joe was talking with Fred, and Fred said that Barney made you sick. He said, "I don't like Barney at all. Do you like Barney?" Now, sure, Joe likes Barney. He likes Barney a lot, but he doesn't want to make Fred mad, so he says, "No, I don't like Barney either. You are my best friend, Fred." Next day, Joe runs into Barney. Barney comes up to Joe and says,
"I saw you talking to Fred the other day. Personally, I don't see how you can stand Fred. He makes me want to throw up when I see him. Do you like Fred?"
And Joe says, "No, you are my best friend, Barney." Now tell me, who was acting like a chameleon? Barney, Fred, or Joe? That's right. Joe was acting like a chameleon because he kept changing colors or ideas depending on who he happened to be talking with. Have you ever acted like a chameleon before? I know I have. I think we probably all have to some degree or another to protect ourselves when we thought we were in danger or would lose something that was important to us. Sometimes we become a chameleon at our piano lessons. Our teacher says, "Well, did you practice all week long?" And inside you're saying, "Oh, I wished I had practiced all week long." But then as soon as you get home, you think, "Oh, I don't want to practice." And so when we're in front of our teacher, we wished we would have, but when we're not in front of our teacher, it doesn't quite matter. That's kind of a chameleon type of attitude, changing kind of colors depending on who we're with. On this tape, we're going to discuss Dmitri Kabalevsky. A good word to describe Kabalevsky would be chameleon. You would have to be a chameleon to survive Lenin, Stalin, Khrushchev, and several other leaders of the Soviet Union during the lifetime of Kabalevsky. Kabalevsky was a talented musician and composer, but even more talented as a chameleon. He had a knack for saying the right things at the right time to the right people. He was politically wise. Perhaps he learned this from his father, who worked for the government. His father wanted Dmitri to enter a career in mathematics or economics. When Dmitri was 14, the family moved to Moscow. That was in 1918, 1 year after the big Bolshevik Revolution when the communists came into power. Dmitri was a latecomer to the piano and musical study. He was almost 16 years old before he began lessons. When Dmitri was 18, he took the entrance examinations to enter college as a math economics student, like his father wanted him to be, but he never enrolled. Instead, he decided to become a pianist. He worked very hard at the piano and began teaching piano. He was not satisfied with the quality of music that was available for the young pianist and began composing pieces for children and young students. He collected these pieces into two opuses. To most of the world, Kabalevsky is not a major composer, but to the beginning and intermediate pianist, he is. In a few minutes, we will listen and discuss some of these pieces in more detail. As time went on, Kabalevsky joined the Communist Party and was a part of the Stalin regime that helped set musical policy. However, when Stalin became angry with the creativity of the Russian composers in 1948, Kabalevsky helped the Russian composers out. After the authorities condemned the composers in 1948, many of the composers did not know what to do. What would you do if you saw your country's leader kill more than 30 million people because he didn't think they were supporting him? And then he pointed a finger at you and said, "You are not supporting me either." I think we would all fear for our lives, wouldn't we? However, Kavelski took the lead and helped the other composers by showing them the way out. He stood up and apologized for the awful thing that he didn't do, declared allegiance to the state and to Stalin, and pledged to do better in the future. Kavelski's ability as a chameleon perhaps saved many lives of some great composers. One by one, each composer arose and did exactly what Kavelski had done, apologized, and pledged to do better in the future. As the years passed, the Russian government recognized Kavelski's talent as a chameleon and used him as an ambassador. They sent him to many parts of the world to win friends for the Soviet Union. Kavelski's career as a pianist and a composer was a very successful one. He is remembered outside the Soviet Union primarily for his piano pieces. Inside the Soviet Union, though, he is better known for his vocal works, operas, songs, and cantatas. In 1987, he died. He was nearly 83 years old. That piece was entitled Little Waltz. It is one among many pieces that he composed for children. Most of these pieces are collected in two different books called simply 30 Pieces for Children, Opus 27, and Opus 39. As you listen to them, you will notice that there are few harsh sounds, as you hear in Schoenberg, Béla Bartók, or many other 20th century composers. From what you heard on the other side of this tape, why do you think he kept his music simple, with pretty melodies? Kavelski had to find other ways to vent his creativity. For example, listen to this piece from Opus 39, 30 Pieces for Children. It is called Clowns. Is a clown serious? Not usually, is he? A clown makes jokes or does unexpected things which make him very funny. In this piece, Kavelski creates the effect of joking around by constantly changing the tonality of the piece. You never know if he is in A major or A minor. Listen as I play the first four measures of the melody. Did you hear that? Major, minor, major, minor, major, minor, major. He continues joking around through the entire piece. Listen to the whole thing now and see what the clown finally decides. Will he finish in A major or A minor? Like to ride horses? The next piece you will hear is called The Horseman. Kavelski sets the feeling of a galloping horse with a very rhythmic accompaniment. Listen. Over this rhythmic accompaniment, which continues throughout the piece, Kavelski wrote two different melodies. One sounds like this. The other one sounds like this. This time, as you listen to the piece, write down the form this piece is written in. It may be ABA, or ABBA, or ABAB, or any other combination. Do you remember the two different melodies I played? Remember the first one was da-da-da-ba-bum. Listen to the order in which they come and write down the form. What form did you hear? Did you hear an ABA form? If you did, you were listening very well. What musical time period seemed to like the ABA form? Another very famous piece by Kabalevsky is called Toccatina. In this piece, he creates a 20th century sound through the use of parallel first inversion triads that march up and down the keyboard. Early 20th century composers liked these parallel triads because it didn't follow the harmonic patterns of the Baroque, Classic, and Romantic periods, but still was able to keep a feeling of tonality. As Toccatina is played, see if you can hear the form again. What was the form? If you heard ABA, you are correct again. The first piece to bring Kabalevsky recognition outside of the USSR was his famous C major sonatina. This clever piece is like most sonatinas, written in three movements. In that sense, and in many others, it is modeled after the sonatinas of Muzio Clementi. What musical time period did Clementi live in? The Baroque, Classic, Romantic, or 20th century? That is right. Clementi was a composer of the Classic period. After having listened to some of Kabalevsky's pieces and talking about him, would you say he relates more to the Baroque, Classic, or Romantic musical time periods? Why would you say that? Getting back to our sonatina, Kabalevsky introduces two basic themes with transition material to take us back and forth between the themes. Listen to the first theme, Sonatina, theme number one. Listen carefully because you'll have to remember it. Now listen to the second theme, Sonatina, theme two. The first theme is rather percussive, isn't it? And the second theme more lyrical. Now let's listen to the entire first movement. It goes quite fast, so you'll need to listen fast. Write down the order in which the themes occur, which is another way of saying, please write down the form of the piece, as you have done two other times on this tape. don't worry about any other material other than the two themes I played for you. Put on your ears. Here we go, Sonatina in C major. Well, what was the form? If you heard A-B-A, A-B, you were correct. The last movement of any sonatina or symphony is almost always fast. It serves as the impressive, dazzling close to the sonatina or symphony that is supposed to bring you to your feet. In true classic tradition, Cavalleschi closes his little sonatina in fast fashion. The third movement is entitled Presto. It's a very interesting little piece in that he changes meter. He starts out in a 3, da 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 da, 1, 2, 3, and then changes to 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Count along as you hear this piece and see if you can hear the changes in meter from 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, to 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Sometimes it goes to 4 as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, which is just a multiple of 2. Listen and hear these changes of meter. Presto from Sonatina in C major. studying the biographies of composers can give us some good insights into their pieces. However, unless it is coupled with the study of their music, it is almost useless. On this tape, you have not only studied part of Kabalevsky's life and the country he lived in, but you have studied his music as well. The next step is to now begin playing his pieces. I hope you enjoy studying the pieces and getting to know the work of Kabalevsky a little bit better.